Greetings, this is Dr. Willie Jolly, and I want to welcome you to my new Willie Jolly Wealthy Ways podcast series. We have been overwhelmed with the responses that people have shared from listening to these messages on my SiriusXM show over the years. Those listeners, and they're sharing my show with their network, telling people about it, telling their family members, their friends, and their coworkers about this show and the impact it's having on their lives. That's the main reason that this show is now number one for self-help in America, and I'm very grateful. Yet, we realize that many people do not have satellite radio and therefore could not experience for themselves the message. They could not get it for themselves. So we are now sharing these messages with everyone via this new podcast. Enjoy it and share it with your network. And let's help even more people to do more, be more, and achieve more. Tell everybody so that they can live a Wealthy Ways life as well. Welcome to the new Willie Jolly Wealthy Ways podcast. And remember, your best is yet to come.
Named one of the outstanding five speakers in the world.
Inducted into the Speaker Hall of Fame.
Award-winning singer.
Best-selling author.
And now, here's Willie Jolly.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Willie Jolly, and I am excited about another opportunity to share a few ideas with you to help you to do more, to be more, to achieve more, and to have greater personal and professional success in every part of your life. You have only just a minute. Only 60 seconds in it. It's forced upon you. You can't refuse it. You didn't seek it. You didn't choose it. But it's up to you to use it. You must suffer if you lose it. Give account if you abuse it. Oh, it's just a tiny little minute. But your eternities are all wrapped up in it. And we are going to take and make the most of this minute, this moment, this opportunity to give you some information to help you have greater personal and professional success, and more wealth, health wealth, financial wealth, relationship wealth, reputational wealth, intellectual capital wealth. There are lots of types of wealth. So we want you to be covered in all of the above with this show. So I'm grateful for you taking time out of your schedule to invest in this information. I think you'll see the dividend is worth the investment. Now, you know, I start every show by giving God glory. I start every show by giving God glory. I give him praise. I'm grateful for what he has done, what he does, what he continues to do, and what he is going to do in the future. Because, see, I always look at the past to get some sort of framework for the future. Now, my past does not determine my future, but I can see some good, exceptional trends that are result of my past as I look to the future. And God been good to me. Oh, yes, he has. And I give him glory and I give him praise. So I know everybody don't believe like I believe, and I'm good with that. I'm not trying to convert y'all. I'm just trying to make sure I give glory to him who is worthy of the praise. I give God glory. Now, my guest every week is one of the people who inspire me. No matter who they are, whether it's a General Colin Powell, whether it's a Les Brown, whether it's a Wally Famous, a Damon John, a Sheila Johnson, a B. Smith, you name them, I'm always inspired every week by the guests. And I want to thank our producers who help us to line up these great guests. But I am grateful for each one, and I'm grateful for the fact that they take time out of their schedules, busy schedules, to share with you how they became who they are. And my guest today is another one of those people. He is a young man, and I say that with a lot of not jousting or jousting. He is a young man. I was speaking at an event in Maryland, and I was leaving the venue after finished speaking. It was a hotel, and I'm pulling out of the parking area, and this big black Rolls Royce rolls around the corner. I said, whoa, look at that beautiful car. And as I get close to it, it stops. And the window slowly comes down. And a voice says, hey, Willie Jolly, my man, how you doing? And I said, my, it's my friend, Evans Charles. And we start talking. He said, I want to thank you for your books and your audios and all the things that have inspired others and inspired me. And so let me tell you who he is. He's the founder managing principal partner of Frontier Development and Hospitality. He's a native of Washington, D.C. He attended Temple University in Philadelphia, where he was a Big East Conference Division I football athlete. During his 5 years there at Temple, he earned a B.A. in psychology and a master's of education. Shortly thereafter that, he was inspired by his landlord, who probably said, you know, you need to pay the rent, and let me teach you how you can get more money so you can pay the rent. He was inspired by his landlord to get his first real estate transaction. At the age of 25, he executed his first small transaction that resulted in an out-of-pocket investment of about $1,000 and resulted in a $25,000 profit some months later. And that was the start of his career. He now has grown to over, last count that I remember, was about $200 million in hotel portfolio of Marriott, Hilton, HIG, Starwood, and all sorts of hotels all over the country, Nashville, Atlanta, Columbus, Ohio, D.C., Baltimore. And he's just gotten Western, too, I believe. His accomplishments have been recognized with the 2009 Hotel Owner of the Year Award, the 2016 Deal of the Year Award by DoubleTree, and the 2010 Next Generation of Business Leaders Award, the 2010 Outstanding Hotelier Award, and the 10 People Under 40 to Watch Award. He is humble, just an easygoing, but I'm telling you, he has built a business. I'm just grateful to have him as a friend. His name is Evans Charles. Evans, are you there?
I am here.
Man, it's good to have you on the show. I know we've been talking about this for a couple years. And so I'm so glad we were able to find time to make it happen and get it on. And I got to shout out Andy Ingram. You know, we got to shout out Andy Ingram, who's the president of the National Association of Black-Owned Hotel Operators. Is that correct? How do you say it? What is the correct name?
You got it. National Association of Hotel Operators. Owners, operators, and developers.
Yes. Andy is my friend, lives in Bahamas and in Florida, and he actually was the one who first introduced me to Evans Charles and raved about Evans Charles. So, Evans, I gave them the thumbnail sketch of who you are, where you come from. You were a football player. You came from D.C., but tell us a little more about your story, where you came from.
Well, first and foremost, I want to just thank you for having me here on the show and providing that awesome introduction. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Very much so happy to be here. So just to elaborate a little bit more on, you know, what you said. As you mentioned, I'm born and raised here in D.C. My mom, you know, Haitian descent, you know, had me when she was 18 years old, single mom, growing up in D.C. during the height of the crack epidemic up in in Northwest or so. And, you know, and saw a lot. You know, during that era, a lot of friends who, you know, were caught up in the environment, you know, that mass incarceration, saw a lot of that, saw a lot of friends who were murdered in the streets, and just, you know, just a lot of crime and violence and, you know, and knew that, you know, didn't have money and, you know, did have an athletic ability and was really banking on that to get me out of that environment, at least to get me into school, you know, to get me an athletic scholarship or so. And so, because I kind of did not, you know, I didn't think or didn't, I wasn't too confident that I would make it out of that environment had I not left D.C. I never forget when I turned 21, just thanking God that I made it to my 21st birthday, which is just crazy when I think about that now, you know. Because of just all of what I saw.
Right.
So, you know, I went on to Temple. I did not get a scholarship directly out of college, but I ended up walking onto the football team, tried out, and I beat out the starter, and I forced them to put me on scholarship. So once I got that scholarship, that was just my ticket. So,
were a walk-on.
Yeah.
You were a walk-on and for school and could get a scholarship. You walked on and then worked hard enough to beat the starter.
That's right. So once I got the starting position, I looked at them and like, you know, you have to put me on scholarship, and they agreed. So, yes, that was my junior year. And then once I got the scholarship, you know, a lot of athletes take 5 years to get their degrees. I got mine in 4, and then I went back because they were still paying for 5 years, you know, a 5-year scholarship.
Wow.
And I did a 2-year program in 1 and got the master's degree.
You did a 2-year master's program in 1 year, so you was humping.
That's right. That's
now, were you still playing ball, too?
Yes, that was my last year. I didn't have a life that year.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
athlete and academic both focus.
That's right.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that was, so when I came out of school, I was excited. I knew, you know, I knew what it was like to be broke. And, you know, now it's just time for me to make something of myself. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. And like you mentioned, that the landlord was my initial inspiration. And, you know, when I saw, you know, a person earning residual income and passive and residual income, that to me seemed like the ticket to create wealth.
Right.
So, you know, so yeah, started doing that, you know, by virtue of that first deal that you mentioned. But at the same time, I was working in sales for an educational publisher, and I just worked hard, and I was getting big commission checks, and I kept reinvesting in real estate. And over a 10-year span, I probably did, you know, about 70 transactions or so. You know, I was extremely active. Once I got some capital behind me that believed in me, we just kind of created this engine, and we just kept buying, fixing, renting, selling, buying, you know, fixing, renting, you know, and then we started getting into some larger projects. So, sort of towards the latter part of that 10-year process. And then I'm getting a haircut, and my barber tells me about this DC guy named Don Peebles, who owned the Royal Palm Hotel down in South Beach. And
right.
At that time, I said to myself, wow, there's, you know, African-Americans that own hotels, and this guy's from D.C. And, you know, and I'm scratching my head. And then, you know, then I go to the doctor later that day. I pick up Black Enterprise, and he's on the cover of that magazine, and I'm seeing him again. So then I went to Google and realized he was the chairman of Maplewood, which is how I met Andy, and they were having a meeting in 2 weeks. So I just jumped on the plane and flew down to Atlanta and went to the NAPWOOD conference. And when I saw these people that looked like me, that were owning hotels, and I knew I was ready to progress into some larger commercial transactions, I said, this is my ticket. This is what I want to do. And I'm not going to come back to this conference unless I have a hotel under my belt. So I had quit my job. I had focused 100% on investing in hotels. And I did. I came back, you know, to that next meeting, and I had my first hotel under my belt. So,
wow.
Yeah. I partnered with the Indian American guy who Andy had introduced me to, and actually was my RA.
Yes.
He was my RA in the dorms, so I didn't know him at the time. But his, you know, he's a second generation hotelier. Father owned like 8-9 hotels, so I couldn't get a loan from the bank unless I had someone on the team that had experience. So that was my ticket to at least getting my foot in the door, was partnering with him. And then I've grown ever since from there. You know,
wow.
Just like you mentioned. Yeah. To
wow.
A 9-figure portfolio.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. What a story. So let me make sure, folks, y'all got that. This guy from D.C., mom's a teenage mom. She's a single parent. She raised this boy in the hood. She's able to get him at least through school, get him a good basic education foundation. He goes to Temple. He says, I'm going to walk on and see if I can get me a scholarship, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to make this happen. He goes to Temple. He not only gets on the team, but beats the starter, makes them give him a scholarship. His landlord tells him about investing, and he takes it and runs with it. We're going to come back with the rest of his story and how you can learn how to live your dream via what Evans Charles has done. This is Dr. Willie Jolly, and for sure, your best is yet to come. We'll be right back.
Someone you can call in the middle.
Hi, this is Dr. Willie Jolly, and if you're enjoying this information you're hearing on this podcast, I want to invite you to get even more great information on my new free gift page on my website. Go to wjspeaks.com and hit the All Access badge. On that page, you will find information and resources specifically designed to help you to have greater success. Free ebooks, music, all sorts of interesting and informational interviews from my XM show. I'm telling you, this is a great page. And why do I do it? Because I've learned that the more we give, the more we get. And the more we help other people to grow and go to the next level, the more we receive in our business. So we want to help you. Tell your friends about it. Go to Facebook and get my information. Go to my website, get my free resources, and get on wjspeaks.com and hit that All Access badge. It looks like a backstage pass. Click it. You'll get behind the scenes information to the special page to help you grow. All we want in return, all we ask, is that you pass it on, because the more you give, the more you get. This is Dr. Willie Jolly. Have a great day. This is Dr. Willie Jolly. My special guest is Evans Charles. Now, you know, you might not see him on daily television, or you might not hear him on daily radio, but let me tell you, if you're in the hotel industry, you know this guy. Everybody in hotel know Evans Charles. He's a go-getter, make it happen, no holding anything, holding him down or keeping him from living his dreams. And he did it starting with nothing. I mean, nothing. And has built a huge portfolio. I mean, I think I mentioned some of the hotel, but I think the last one was the Westin in Baltimore. Is that right? Was that right? Am I correct? Or the last one I heard about, maybe something new or something. It's something in Baltimore I remember hearing about.
No, you're right. We purchased the Westin at BWI Airport earlier this year. And then come March of next year, we're going to be delivering a Homewood Suites by Hilton that we're building right outside of D.C., right near FedEx Field in Prince George's County.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is such an exciting story because you – with the extra mile. I mean, what is it that motivated you? Okay, first, let's start with motivated you to out-hustle, out-work, out-focus the football guy who had the starting job so you could get a scholarship. What's your motivation?
I'll tell you where a lot of it, and I didn't realize it real time, but as I look back, I think where it all came from. And it's going to sound funny, but when I moved to the neighborhood that I moved to when I was 8 years old in D.C., I got teased in the neighborhood for having no-name sneakers, holes in my shoes, and things of that nature. And I never forget, my mom, she had me in Catholic school. She gave me food, shelter, and just basic clothing. She said, if you want anything fancy, you need to go get a job.
Wow.
So you know what? I went out and got a paper route.
Yes.
And I was waking up at 5 in the morning when I was 13, serving papers, making my own breakfast, and walking to school, starting in the fourth grade. So I didn't realize how much discipline and work ethic that I was learning at the time. But my motivation was to not get teased in the neighborhood and just to be accepted and cool, right? Because after I started working this paper route, making $70 every 2 weeks, I don't remember what it was, I can buy my own sneakers,
right.
and the teasing went out the door. But I think that work ethic was just in me from that point, and I was just no stranger to just working hard. So when I got on the football team, you know, it was just, hey, look, this is where I need to be. You know, it's just a function of, hey, I need to work hard. I need to beat this person that's in front of me. You know, I don't have to be the most talented person. I don't have to be the smartest person, but we all have the same 24 hours in the day, and I can apply mine to working harder than you, right? And
wow.
That's the one thing that I understood, and that's just what I did, you know?
Wow.
So that's the basis of it.
You know what? I want to tell people that that's probably one of the most simple explanations to success. Outwork everybody. If you've heard any of my other interviews with some of the great ones, whether it's a Mark Victor Hansen who says he built Chicken Soup for the Soul series by outworking, out hustling, out selling, out promoting the competition. You gotta work hard. And then going back to childhood, his story reminds me so much of mine because my mom would not buy me a bicycle. She said, "You're gonna kill yourself on a bicycle." Now we were middle class, and we never had anything, you know, like you, fancy tennis shoes or anything. But my mom wouldn't buy me a bicycle. I'll never forget that. And I said, "Okay, I'm gonna buy my own bike." And I got a job serving the Washington Evening Star as a newspaper boy, and I did that and got that little check. You know, really, here's really what you were doing. So people don't know how newspaper boys, I don't know if it's still the same now, probably not, but back then in probably your time, Evans, you had a route, and they would drop off papers at some corner, and they dropped this big thing of papers, and you would have this count of how many papers you had, and then you would serve the papers for a week, and at the end of a week or 2 weeks, I would knock on doors to get my payment. People pay for their newspaper. That's how we used to do it back then. And they would pay me, and then let's say I had $100. I had to pay my bill. I had to pay the route manager a bill. Now, the bill might have been $65. Okay, I got 100. I give him 65 for the papers, and then everything above that is profit. Now, that's how I was. I don't know if that's how yours, because you're a little younger than I am. But I learned about, one, working hard. I learned about, two, managing the money, paying the debts so that I can get the profit. And that's a great system to learn how to build a business. Well, you learned that. You were motivated because people were making fun. You didn't have the fancy shoes. You didn't have the shoes with maybe an insignia on it, and you had holes in your shoes, and so you said, "I'm going to work and get what I need, and not have to sell drugs to do it." Okay, praise the Lord. And so goes to mom, takes all her little money, makes sure he got a good school education. He goes to Temple. He outworks the starter. And his landlord tells him about the power of investing. Now, did your landlord own that place that you were renting?
He did.
So he liked you because he saw something in you. And he told you that he gave you the keys to the castle, that own this, and this is how I make my money. Okay, give me money. I paid for this. You give me rent, and that's how I'm paying the rent for this. Okay, so then you're at, you start renting, you know, I mean, buying little pieces of property. I think Baltimore, where you got your first, is that where you got your first piece of property, or Philly?
No, Philly.
Right, Philly. And got a little piece of property, and then kept little by little taking all his. Now, here's the thing. I want to make sure I pull the pearl out of here. You said you were in sales, so you are on commission, some sort of commission.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So first, folks, people who understand the power of commission understand creating wealth, okay? Because commission says, I'm willing to work hard because I get a return on that hard work, okay?
Right.
I'm not just an hourly worker. I might have a base, but if I hustle, I can make more money. There's no limit on how much money I can make if I'm good at sales. It's the old saying that says, a salesman went into his boss and said, "Hey, I need a raise." And the boss said, "Your raise becomes effective the moment you do." the more you can sell, the more you can make. Okay, so obviously you were selling. You was humping. You were on the phone. You were knocking on doors. You were talking to folk. You got to talk to people to sell. Am I right about it?
100%.
Right. So, but here's where I want to pull the pearl out. You made your profit on your commission, but you didn't blow it on hanging out in the club. You didn't blow it on frivolous stuff. You invested it. Come on, somebody. Talk about that for a minute, Evans.
Yeah, so at one point, and I heard of you way back here, too, because I used to be, I really got, throughout this tenure, I got involved in network marketing.
Okay.
And it's really, a lot of it is self-help and investing in audio books and books. So I used to get a lot of inspiration by knowing that. And I never forget, I think I was reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Kiyosaki, one of his books, and he was talking about like luxury, like when it comes to like cars or clothes, how you should, allow your investment to pay for that kind of stuff for you, right? So my thing was, if I made a profit off of something, I would want to invest it. So let's just say I'm investing it into a property, and then I'm collecting a rent check, and I would let the tenant pay for any luxuries that I have.
Right.
So if I'm going to buy a car, I'm going to find an investment that's going to be able to support and pay for that car for me. I'm not going to do it with my principal, you know? So that just became my mentality or so, to not be such in a rush to look like so fabulous as it relates to, fancy things. And I never tell people kind of car I drove, so I kind of cringe when you said that in the
Well, beginning. Look, you obviously work for that thing because...
Right.
You worked for one, and two,
right.
Two, you just gave a great tip for everybody who's listening. Let your investments pay for your luxuries, okay?
Yep.
Don't take your rent money. Don't take your corpus or your principal to pay for it. So, you know what? I as you said that, my mind immediately went to, I just bought a new car. And if you're online, y'all, people know what kind of car I bought. I bought a nice sports luxury car, okay? Fully electric, da-da-da-da. Okay. But once I told my mentees how I did it, I said I did it for my stocks. Because someone told me years ago, buy stocks. And then once you get your stocks grow, and some of my stocks have grown well, I took some of that profit to buy the car. I didn't take my principal. The principal's still the same as when I started. And you just confirmed that. Folks, if you're not buying a stock, look, I'm encouraging you. If you're not investing in real estate, if you're not investing in mutual funds, something where your money is working for you, just like you get up to go to work every day, your money ought to get up and go to work for you every day. Am I right about it, Evans?
100%.
Come on. 100%. Woo, this is some good stuff. Well, look, folks, we got to take a break. We're going to come back, and Evans is going to tell you some of the tips and strategies that he tells young people in colleges or people in seminars how to grow their success, whether it's in hotels, whether it's in entrepreneurial activities, wherever it is to build your wealth, because that's what we're talking about now, is wealth building. So it leaves a legacy, not just for this generation, but legacy for generations yet unborn. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Willie Jolly Wealthy Way Show. And for sure, your best is yet to come. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Dr. Willie Jolly. And for years, I've told people that in order to have a greater life, it starts by having greater individual days. If you have a great day and you repeat that great day 7 times, you've had a great week. And you repeat that week 4 times, you've had a greater month. And then repeat that month 12 times, you've had a greater year, and you're on your way to a greater life. And it starts with that individual day. I recommend you start each day with something powerful. I call it the pure, the powerful, and the positive. Rather than starting your day with bad news, how many people got killed, or how many children got snatched, or how many fires there were, I recommend you start your day with something to inspire and empower and encourage you to make this day a great day. We're excited to announce the start of Jolly TV on my Facebook page. Go to Willie Jolly, Willie.Jolly on Facebook. Just go to Willie.Jolly on Facebook and get ready for a great day and a great life. Have a great day on purpose. And we're back. Evans Charles, for those who might be just joining us, who might have just clued in or jumped in or jumped on, who is this guy Willie Jolly's talking to today and talking about so wonderfully? His name is Evans, E-V-E-N-S, Charles. He's the founder of Frontier Development and Hospitality Group, and he started with a $1,000 investment and now has a portfolio of over $200 million. He has hotels with Marriott, Hilton, IHG. He has Westin. He has, all sorts of hotels all over America. He's been given every possible award. He came out of the inner city, and he never let from where he came determine where he was going. Okay, so we're talking to Evans about your story. Now, what do you tell, let's say you were talking, I ask just about every guest the same question. You're in a class of students and a business class, and they want to be successful like you are. So they say, what are the secrets? Give us the stuff. They got their pens and pencils in the hand. What are the things you tell people about being successful, living their dreams, overcoming the challenge? Oh, one other thing I want to share with you. Your first, if I read somewhere, your first major deal was back around 2000, or one big deal around 2008 fell through. Is that correct? Let's see.
I had a lot of deals fall through.
Oh, you've had, yeah. It wasn't just one deal, in other words. You had more than one setback.
So you've had
a number of setbacks. I want to say that to people so they don't think that this has been a cakewalk for you. In fact, let's talk a little bit. What happens? What is your, what happens when things don't go your way? When you have setbacks, when the deals fall through, when people don't do what they say, when the bank pulls a loan, what keeps you going? How do you keep going?
How do I keep going? I mean, quitting and stopping is not an option, right? So that doesn't even enter the brain at all. And to me, a successful person is a person who has probably failed more than the average person and just keeps getting up, right? So there is no like you said, no cakewalk or no smooth just road to just success. So no, I've failed. I've been cheated. It's all happened to me. I've lost money. But I guess the will and the desire to win just outweighs those temporary setbacks. And I'm always confident that it's going to happen, irregardless if I fall. So I keep my eyes on the prize, and I just maintain that faith and that confidence that it's going to happen. If it takes me a little bit longer than the next person, then so be it. But I own it mentally before I actually own it.
That's a big one. He said, I own it mentally before I might own it physically. Folks, yeah. Big point. That is why we tell people to put a vision board or to get an idea, get clarity of what you're trying and get it in your mind, because he said it. He owns it mentally before he owns it physically. Oh, I love that, Evans. I love that, man. Man, I love that. All right, so let's go back to the college room. What you got these kids. What are you going to tell them how to be successful? What are some of the points you would tell them?
The first one is cliche. I mean, you want to educate yourself, and you want to be astute, and you want to be as smart as you possibly can be in whatever it is that journey you're trying to pursue, right? But in addition to that, what's going to be, that's going to be a necessity, but what's going to be even more valuable is the network that you create, because, when I think about it, any, major wins that I've had, a lot of it has come from, I've had to have help from someone, right? And creating a network is, you could be the smartest person, but the other person who's more connected than you is going to win all the time. And in creating that network, you have to be a person of, quality character, right? You have to have integrity. People have to respect you, have to just believe that the core of who you are, is just good. So I just try to treat people the right way, and be reasonable with folks, and build relationships. So relationships, educating yourself, you know, and like I mentioned, you know, just willing to be the first one at work and the last one to leave, to just outwork everyone. But yeah, I mean, you know, again, it's nothing magical that I'm saying, but I mean, that's just really putting your hard effort into those bases.
You know what?
You know, you will win.
And that's what I love. It's not magic, and nor do you have to be born with a silver spoon in your mouth, nor do you have to be a certain color, nor do you have to be a certain gender, nor do you have to be a certain ethnicity, religion. It only matters if you're willing to do the work. Okay, folks, everybody who's listening, are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to get up a little earlier, stay up a little later? Are you willing to work on yourself? You know, I heard somebody say, I want better results in my future. And I always say when they say, I want better results in my future, well, when you get better, your results will get better. When you change, your results are going to change. So work on yourself. He said that. Treat people well. And then, can't say it enough, work on your network. Work on your network. And how do you work on your network, folks? You do for others before you need them to do for you. You help others. Even if you don't have a whole lot to give, you give time, you give compliments, you give encouragement, you give assets. You might have some. One of the things you said I want to make sure people don't miss is that your initial investments in real estate, you said, we'd buy a little something, we'd fix it up, then we'd sell it. Buy it, fix it up. Now, that means there's some elbow grease. There's some sweat equity. You had some sweat equity in this, Evans?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. My friend Mike Roberts, you know Mike. Mike and I are good friends. He's a hotel owner as well. He said he and his brother would put on their hard hats and their steel-toed shoes when they didn't have nothing else but buy any little homes in the hood. And they'd go in and knock out walls and pull out the old wood that had been rusted and moldy and pull it out with gloves on. And he said there was some sweat equity.
Yeah.
You know, sweat equity. So, now that you're able, there's another line, but now that you're able to be successful, I want to read one of the quotes that I love from Evans Charles. It was in Lodging Hotels, had a wonderful 60-second profile about Evans. And this is something I love. He said, Evan Charles liked to compare his career to the game of Monopoly. He said, the difference is I'm trading in houses now for hotels. So he started with houses, and then he moved to hotels. So you're like playing real deal, real life Monopoly. Am I right about it?
You're right.
I love it. And you're going around the board, and hopefully you don't land in jail. You're trying to avoid that so they won't take you.
I'm trying to get to that boardwalk block.
Folks, I want to encourage people while they might be on vacation, while they are away, while they have some family time, pull out that old Monopoly game. Pull out that thing and play it. Remember the feeling of going around and then see how you can make that into a real life experience. Because we want more people to be able to do that and we want people from all over America and all over the world who hear this, whether it's on a radio show, whether it's on a podcast. I want you to start to live a life that you dream about. One more question I want to ask. Your mom still alive?
Yeah.
All right, good. I just want to know, I know she's proud of you. I just want to say, I know that, because a single mom who struggles to take care of her son, put him in Catholic school, give him the best she could afford. So I guess you don't have to brag about what you do, but I'm sure that you've done a little something for your mama.
Look, the best thing was, you know, to go back and tell my mom, she, you know, she doesn't have a mortgage anymore.
You know?
And, in a neighborhood that, you know, values have increased. I mean, D.C. is a completely different
city
now, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, even in her home, you know, she could, you know, it could be almost $1 million, you know, of equity right there, you know, which is a beautiful thing, you know. So, no, I mean, I just, but that's not even, like you said, anything to brag about.
No, it's just, you know, Les Brown talks, talks about his motivating factor when he was starting his speaking career was to be able to buy his mama a house, take care of her home. And he said, you know, I struggled, I scraped, I clawed, so I could one day take her to a place. We used to ride around the neighborhood where she had done the domestic work. We used to ride around there and say, look at that house, mama. And she'd say, that's a beautiful house. I sure would love to have something like that. And one day she said, oh, look at that one. I really would like something like that one day, Les. And he said he never forgot that. And one day he was riding through that neighborhood and there was a for sale sign. And he said, I bought that house. I bought that house for my mama. And he said, and then I went and picked her up and said, Mom, I'm going to take you somewhere. He took her to the house. And she said, oh, that's the beautiful house I always talked about, Leslie. Oh, and he said, let's drive up in the park, in the driveway. You think the people won't be upset? And he said, no, they won't. I don't think they'll. I've already talked to them. And walked up to the house and pulled the keys out. Opened the door and said, Mama, this your house now. She said, Leslie. He said, Mama, this your house. And that's what I felt, you know, when I think about your mama, that she don't have no more mortgage because her son has been able to scrape and claw and fight and work, outwork everybody, get up earlier, stay up late, have setbacks, disappointment, people drop the ball, lie about things they're going to do and don't do it, pull the mortgage, pull the loans. But just, I love what you said. Quitting is not an option. Come on. Woo! I love that. I love that. That fires me up. Quitting is not an option. Some of the people who are listening to this show need to hear this. They've been struggling. They're ready to throw in the towel. They're ready to give up on their dream. It's been tough. The bank told them no. All their friends walked away. Their mate might have walked away. But Evans Charles is an example. Quitting is not an option. Giving up is never an option. It's not part of my mindset. Folks, this is Evan Charles. He's on the Willie Jolly Show. I got one more session with, one more segment of the show with him. When we come back, we're going to get into the real nitty gritty. How you grow your wealth and why it's important to be wealthy. This is Dr. Willie Jolly on the Willie Jolly Wealthy Way Show. And for sure, your best is yet to come.
Life had enough ups and downs, but Lord, since I met you, all that's changed in the blink of an eye. Now all my heart wants to do is fly.
Hi, this is Dr. Willie Jolly, and people often ask, how did I go from a broke, busted nightclub singer to become a best-selling author and to be voted one of the outstanding 5 speakers in the world by the 175,000 members of Toastmasters International? The answer is that I decided to invest and change my thinking, invest in my mindset, and decided to change my inputs because inputs determine outputs. I heard about a seminar years ago when I was just getting started. I was making about $100 a speech. And I heard this seminar that was creating millionaires, and it cost $10,000, but the guy was getting results. I didn't have that kind of money, but I decided to borrow it because I learned that there's a price for success, the price of college, the price of going to school, the price of education. There's a price for success, and then there's a cost but not paying the price. The cost of staying the same. And that cost is greater than the price. It's too expensive. And so I went and it changed my life. And I came back and quickly made $100,000. I heard a similar story from Dr. Dave Martin, how he went to a success rally, heard a speaker who inspired him. He and his friend said, wow, that's changed my life. The speaker had a package of materials to help build wealth. The package cost $1,500. And that was all the money Dr. Dave had to his name. Dr. Dave's friend asked, do you think this stuff is worth it? Dr. Dave thought for a moment. He said, I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it. But I do know that I'm worth it. I'm worth it. He invested that money in that package and used the materials to grow his thinking. He grew his mindset. He shared how that $1,500 investment has gone on to generate millions in revenues. He's a multimillionaire. And he has homes now in Arizona and Florida. I want to say to you, it's time to invest in you. I want to give you some materials that will help you, grow your mindset, grow your future, grow your finances. Go to wjspeaks.com/billionaire. wjspeaks.com/billionaire to get some materials that will inspire your success and will help you find that there's a price for success, but there's a cost for not paying the price. And the cost is always greater than the price. Go to wjspeaks.com/billionaire and get the bag, the box, or any of the materials there and keep growing your wealth. And remember, as a man thinketh, so as he is, and your best is yet to come. This is Dr. Willie Jolly, and we got my friend Evans Charles. Boy, he has built a very successful, incredible empire in the hotel industry. And we got to give a shout out to Brian Parker, who was somebody I met at Mike Roberts' home in the Bahamas. And Brian and I went to lunch, and he said, you know, I'm trying to find more minority people to invest in hotels. And I got to give him a shout out because he's a good guy. And he's one of the ones who gave you your first, is that the first hotel? Was it a choice?
It was.
Okay, so yep. Brian was, I thought I read somewhere that a sleep-in franchise. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what we were going to do first, yeah. But
oh, that one fell through. That was the one that fell through. So, but you didn't give up. You didn't give up.
No.
So you bought a Holiday Inn Express, is that correct?
That's right.
Converted it to a Choice brand hotel.
Yeah.
And he just thought it. That was in Martinsville, Virginia. Then he went on to buy another hotel in Atlanta and apartment buildings near Georgia State. And man, he has just built this step by step. Okay, let's go to the nitty gritty. What do people got to do? What are the gotta-dos? You know, of course, you've given some of them. Read and listen to motivation. Let your investment pay for your luxuries. Don't touch the principles. Find a lot of mentors and people who can be in your network. Develop a network of people who are smart but also determined and connected. Treat people well, and then educate yourself. Educate yourself and be willing to outwork everybody. What do you say to people who say, well, they got an excuse for everything? I know you've met some of them. They come to you and say, hey, yo, Evans, I want to be what you got and do what you do. And you tell them what to do, but yet they got a bunch of excuses. What do you say to them?
At the end of the day, you know, I remember when we were listening to like during the political seasons and somebody like Mitt Romney was running and they started using these 10 percenters, right? These people who are of this certain caliber or this certain make over a certain dollar amount or so, right?
Right.
So if let's just say a 10 percenter makes over $250,000, I'm just throwing out a number, right?
Right.
That means 90% of the population do not, or maybe $100,000, whatever that number is, right? So if a person who's gonna make excuses after excuses after excuses as it relates to why they can't, then they probably won't.
Wow.
At the end of the day. Because it has to start in your mind, and you have to believe it first, right? And once you believe it, then your brain is not going to resort to just why I can't. Your brain is going to look at the glass half full. Why? how can I, right? And you're going to look at what you would typically deem as an excuse as just how do I overcome, you know, this dilemma or this issue or this roadblock or so. So if the mentality is how can I overcome, then that's the person that I'm much, much more willing to spend time with and help, as opposed to I'm saying here's the blueprint and someone says, well, I can't, then, you know, I'm just not as motivated.
Right.
To be honest with you.
Right.
You
know? Not motivated or not inspired or not committed to them because they ain't committed to themselves. Look, folks,
exactly.
He just said it, that your wealth is a choice. Your wealth and your wealth building is a choice. Will it be easy? No. It'll be hard. So if you already know going in, it's going to be hard, then you got to go hard. You got to go hard. You got to go fire. You got to go fast. You got to go committed. You got to be determined. You can't let no stop you. People are going to tell you no. Get back up. Find a way. Think a way. Come away with a deal that works. You know, if you are committed and determined, then that will change everything. Now, how do you get there? Well, a couple of things that Evans already said. He started going to network marketing events. He's looking for the answer. Somewhere there's an answer. These other folks are doing it. Why can't I? So he went to these events, and they gave them the books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Greatest Salesman in the World, The Magic of Thinking Big, The Millionaire Next Door, Live Your Dreams by Les Brown, Attitude is Everything by Keith Harrell. Of course, A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback by Dr. Willie Jolly. My new book, An Attitude of Excellence. We are trying to give you resources, materials that will change your thinking. Your inputs determine your outputs. And look, I just use this as an example, a story that kind of makes me think of you, because I must say, when you rode around that corner with that beautiful big Rolls Royce, Evans, let me tell you, I said, who is that? And when the window slowly came down and I see my boy up in there, I said, I love it. It reminded me of a story. First person I knew who had a Rolls Royce. So years ago now, this has been years and years and years and years ago. I think I had two books out at that point. It Only Takes a Minute to Change Your Life and A Setback Set Up for a Comeback. And no, Setback hadn't even been out yet. It Would Only Take a Minute to Change Your Life, because I was asked to do an interview on the Ricky Lake show. That was back when Ricky Lake had a daily talk show. And they wanted to do a special show on minutes that change people's lives. Well, I want to look good when I go on the Ricky Lake show. So I hear about this guy, and I've heard about this guy named Everett Hall, who was a clothes designer, and all the NBA stars, all the movie stars come to D.C. to get their suits from Everett Hall. So I wanted one of his suits for television. So I go to his store, Chevy Chase area. I walk in, and there's Everett Hall. He's talking to a customer. I said, I wouldn't expect him to be here. I figured he'd be in Milan somewhere, France. And so I go over to him. I said, Mr. Hall, my name is. He said, you're Willie Jolly. I said, you know me? He said, I got your books, and I got some of your audios. I said, really? He said, yeah. We talked for a few more minutes. I tell him about the TV show. He said, I got a perfect suit for you. He goes to get the suit for me and puts it on, and he goes to get the measuring tape. I look at the price tags, Evan. That thing was like $5,000. I said, you ever loan out your suits for television? He said, we'll take care of that in a few minutes. He finished doing the alteration and said, come on over to the cash register. And I walk over to the cash register. I walk slow, okay? I'm walking real slow. Anyway, I get over there, and he hands me the receipt. It says, no charge. I said, what? I don't understand. He said, no charge. He said, I told you, your book and your audios and your materials have had an impact on my success. He said, come on with me. He took me out of his shop, down the steps to the garage, took me over to the corner of the garage and said, look, he had a brand new black Rolls Royce Corniche convertible. First one I'd ever seen. And he said, wow. And I said to him, I said, you got that from reading my book? I said, I'm going home read my book again. But I looked in the backseat, Evans. He had my books, Les Brown books, Zig Ziglar books, Brian Tracy. He had a whole backseat of books and audios because he understood the principle.
That's right. Garbage in, garbage out.
Okay. So Evans has already told y'all folks, everybody who's listening, one of the tips for his success was he started changing his inputs. Reading. He just said Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Everybody should read that. He should. He's given you one after another of these tips. Well, we got a last minute of the interview. Man, this is so good, man. You inspire me, man. You inspire me. Because you are doing it. And you are doing it big. You're African-American. You're young. I told my assistant, I said, I can't wait to get Evans Charles because he's young. And he's an example that is possible. And if he can do it, others can do it too. They just need to know about him. And so closing thoughts, any closing ideas, any closing words of advice for young entrepreneurs, young business people?
Well, I think I've kind of shared a lot of tips and thinking as it relates to what I think are the recipe is the recipe for success. But one of the main characteristics that everyone should ask themselves is how bad do you want it?
Come on.
And your desire, you know, will determine will determine what you actually achieve. Or so
right.
So if you there are instances where, let's just say there is, just hypothetically speaking, there is just some big boulder that's laying on a little girl that has more weight than you can ever imagine being able to push. But for some reason, mentally, your desire is so strong that somehow your mind is over your body and you push that big boulder off that little girl to save her life or whatever the case may be, right?
Yes.
Because that desire is just so strong. So I just look at, I just don't think that I think I've evolved into somebody that people would deem to be special. But just along the way, I just felt as though I just wanted it better than everyone else.
And I
was willing to put in more effort and time and energy into it, So assess your own desire or something on a scale of 1 to 10. And if it's a 10, then you will put in the work to get it.
Amen. That says it, folks. Evans, thank you, man, for being on with me.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Man, that's awesome. Folks, this is Dr. Willie Jolly. Thank y'all for listening. Again, share this with everybody you know. Tell them to listen to this show. Share this podcast with everybody. And then go to williejolly.com/gift. williejolly.com/gift. Get the free gifts we have on that page to help you grow. Go to jollymarriage.com if you want to build your marriage or your relationship. Get the free chapter there. And then my new book, An Attitude of Excellence. Go to attitudeofexcellence.com. Get the free chapter. And then get a copy of the book for everybody on your team, like the folks at Hyatt are doing and the folks at many Marriotts are doing. Because they want to grow the attitude of excellence in their people. Because great people give great service. Good people give good service. Mediocre people give mediocre service. And negative people will kill your dreams. So live your dreams, grow your people. And remember, your best is yet to come. This is Dr. Willie Jolly. God bless.
Are you tired of crying and complaining? Tired of feeling like life don't treat you fair? Do you see so many others moving on? Are you steady going nowhere? Have you maybe come to the conclusion that there's nothing at all that you can do? Well, just look in any mirror and you'll see who is really truly stopping you. My, my, my. It's up.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.